The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, your Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such knowledge as that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life to serve you continually, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 34 responsively. Fear the Lord, you that are his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing.
The young lion is lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing together
to do. Come, children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil speaking, and your lips from lying words.
Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Lord.
weeks ago, I had the most amazing event happen in my life. I saved a woman's life. Really? Let me tell you how it happened. Tuesday evening, about 8 o'clock, 8:30, I got home and I said to my husband, let's go out for ice cream. Now, Don doesn't love ice cream as much as he loves those waffle cones. So I convinced him that if we went over to Baskin-Robbins, we could have a waffle cone, ice cream cone. So off we go. We get to Baskin-Robbins and walk in the door and filled with people and no waffle cones. So we're not staying. We're not going to have ice cream at Baskin-Robbins because they don't have any waffle cones. But I'm not as easily giving up as Don is. He's ready to go home, and I'm still wanting to have ice cream, so I convinced him, let's walk one more block down the street. There's a little place that has frozen yogurt. I said, maybe they have waffle cones. Okay. So we walk down the street, walk into this place, and the minute we stepped in the door, I felt something wasn't right. There was no one there. No customers, no employees, no one behind the counter. And I just kept right on walking. I walked past, through the store, past the counter, past the cash register, into the kitchen. And when I got into the kitchen, I heard, help, help. The woman was locked in the freezer. I opened the door and here this woman was standing in the freezer. She was very cold, shivering with not only cold, but fear. And she had no idea how long she had been in there. She didn't know. I touched her very cold arm, trying to assure her that she was going to be okay and she was all right. And it took a while, and then we got our ice cream. Sat down, and when I looked at the clock, I noted what time it was, and it was over 25 minutes before anyone else came into the store. And whether the next person who came in would have ventured as far as I had in this empty store or not, I don't know. Maybe I saved her life. Maybe I didn't, but it gave me a sense of how easily life can be taken when we're not expecting that just suddenly. It's had me thinking the last couple days or weeks about life. Why are we alive? What do we live for? What does it mean to be really alive? When a person stops breathing and the blood stops coursing through their bodies, we would say that person is dead. She no longer lives. But that's only the physical side of being alive. I think of those folks who are living in the Middle East right now, who live in constant fear that a bomb might explode or a rocket might drop, and the life that they know would be destroyed. And they live day and night with the fear that their life and their experience of life might just be gone. So what is that really living? To live in fear, constant fear? We're here this morning because we want to live. We want to be fully alive. We want to live in hope and joy, not just barely alive, not just nearly alive, but really alive. We want to have life, not just physical life, but life in its abundance. More than just breathing in and out, more than simply having blood flow through our veins. We believe that living is more than mere existence. Jesus said,
I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. In another place, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In another place, Jesus says, live in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus just doesn't stop with all of these life statements. He's talking about it in so many places in the gospel. Time and again, he talked about the fullness of life with the Father. And what we hear from him this morning in the Gospel of John is about as radical as it gets. But we have to listen with faith, not just with human ears. If we try to understand this passage that we heard in the Gospel this morning, if we just try to listen with human understanding, it almost turns our stomachs. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And he goes on, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have to eat the flesh of Jesus in order to have life. The bread of life is his flesh that he has given for the life of the world. These words, this concept, is at once too mysterious and too simple. We know exactly what it means to have to eat in order to live. We know what that means. We know what it means to be alive. We're sitting here breathing. We know what it means to have life. It's too simple. And yet, the flesh of Jesus is too mysterious. We've had this readings in the Gospel of John for the past 4 weeks. We've come to church Sunday after Sunday only to hear John chapter 6 one more time, or another section of it, Jesus talking about this bread of life, about eating and drinking, the very existence of Jesus, taking him into ourselves. Maybe the church knew that we couldn't get it with just one reading. Maybe the church realized that we needed to have it more and more in ourselves in order to understand that. We have to have like a week of Sundays in order to understand this teaching. We certainly can't get it in one sermon, in one proclamation of the gospel. Over time, over years, over weeks of hearing this, we start thinking, I know what it is. I know what it means. I think I understand communion. I think I get this idea of Eucharist. And so we come. We come to the table, we eat the bread, we drink the wine, and we go home about the same as we came. Nothing much has changed for us. We're about the same on our way out as we are on our way in. Well, God's word in the book of Proverbs that Marty read for us this morning has a suggestion. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, God says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, lay aside immaturity, and live, walk in the way of insight. We're supposed to arrive senseless and simple. But let's face it, most of us come to church and come to the altar already filled filled with everything that we've been taught about the Eucharist, about the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, filled with all that we know about what it means to receive, to share in communion. We listen to the words of the Eucharistic prayer, and they seem like so many words telling us the story that we've heard so many times. Jesus knew that words weren't enough. Words weren't enough to tell the deep mystery of Jesus' life being in us. Jesus knew that words weren't enough to explain his desire for his life to be in us, for our lives to be the life of Jesus. He knew that we couldn't get that concept just by talking or listening. So he gave us bread to chew on. Chew on this. We know what it means to eat and be nourished. We know what it means to have to eat in order to live. And Jesus says, chew on this. You need me in order to live. So we take the bread and we chew on it. We take the wine and our senses are awakened to more life, to the promises of life lived abundantly, not merely existence, but abundance of life. We are to come, simple and senseless, let go of a lot of what we think about what this means, and experience communion. Experience it like for the first time and be surprised at what our God of surprises has in store for you and what surprises our God does for us. Think of that empty tomb on Easter morning. Surprises beyond our expectation. Part of the mystery is that the minute we think we understand it, the minute we think we know what the Eucharist is all about, we miss it. We're not simple enough. We're not senseless enough to get it. Our head is filled. Our hearts are filled with other stuff. We're not empty enough in order to be filled. We have to check our baggage at the door and come with open hands to receive what God has to give to us. Now, sometimes folks worry that little children are coming to the altar and maybe they don't understand enough about what it means to receive communion. But I would put that question back to all of us. Do any of us understand completely what it means? What is this flesh and blood of Jesus that we eat? How do we understand it? How do you explain bread that is body, wine that is blood? Should we receive communion if we don't fully understand how this is? Of course we should, because Jesus invites us to do just that. Come, eat, be filled. Come, drink, be nourished, have my life in you, Jesus says to us. Let it be your life for today and for all eternity. We don't have to understand it. We just have to do it. Maybe I saved that girl's life in the ice cream parlor 2 weeks ago. I don't know. But I do know that every time I hold out my hand and receive the body of Christ and say amen. Jesus saves my life. I don't know if I saved that girl's life, but I do know Jesus saves my life. I don't understand how. I don't understand why. But I know that I need to be fed by Jesus himself in order to live. Take and eat. Take and drink. Come, be fed. Have life to the fullest. Amen.